Hello, everybody. I'm Kenneth Copeland, and welcome to class this morning. Here we're the student body of Kenneth Copeland Bible College. And would you give yourselves a hand? I'm glad you're here. Amen. And this is fun time. Glory to God. When you get into the Word, and like Brother Hagin used to say, you lift up every leaf. You go bug hunting. You lift up every leaf and every chip and every rock, see how many bugs you can find, or the things that are bugging you about the Word. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank You today. And once again in this class, we open our hearts and minds to You to receive concepts, ideas, and the faith-producing Word of God. We thank You for it. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. Let's open our Bibles once again today to the 13th chapter of the book of Luke. If we put a title on this message, it would be Jerusalem, which kills the prophets. Well, you can read that, and we know then that prophets were killed in Jerusalem. Jesus then went to the cross in Jerusalem. But what's behind it? Well, yeah, well, so what? Well, so what is not enough. I don't care what subject you're studying in the Bible, so what is not enough. Now, we know it's true. It is absolute truth. But then at the same time, you find things in the Bible that it's true, the Bible said it, but what was said was not true. What Job said was not true. And people have difficulty with the book of Job, but if you just straighten it out, there was not but one sin involved in that whole thing. Well, there's a lot of other stuff. Yeah, but there was only one responsible thing. Curse God and die. That's the theme of the book. Amen. But the things that Job said were not necessarily true. But it was true that he said it. It actually happened just like it said. And so you come back here now, that let's read this in the 34th verse of the 13th chapter of Luke. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which kills the prophets and stones them that are sent unto thee. How often would I have gathered your children together as a hen doth gather her brood under her wings, and you would not. You wouldn't do it. Now, I want to speak a moment about the analogy that he made. Now, if you've never been a country boy and you've never seen a hen do that, it is very interesting. He had a whole bunch of little chicks running around there. And when it starts getting sundown, I mean, she clucks, quack, 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 and here they come. And she does this, and they all run up under her, and she squats down like that. They're all up under her wings where it's warm. And out there in West Texas, it gets cold, cold. But she just hunkers down like that, and they all go to sleep. And she protects them. And I'm telling you, if anything disturbs that, I'm telling you, she makes a racket and she just goes throwing a fit to protect those little fellas. And I have that image in my mind. I can just see her doing that, particularly big old Rhode Island Red. I mean, she just hovers down like that and everybody goes to sleep and they're so safe. And sometime he got some a little disobedient when she went, whoosh, man, she'll slough him back up under her wing. And Jesus said, I would have done that. Praise God. So now, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which kills the prophets. Well, let's go back to the book of Genesis now in the third chapter. And let's read here, beginning with the first verse. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. Do you see that? He made him. So he's responsible for him. And he said unto the woman, yea, or hey, lady, how are you? Ah, you're so fine looking today. Just as sweet and oily. Can't you just see this greasy? Oh, how y'all are. Just so nice. Yay. Hath God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? The woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God hath said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it. Now, she added to it. He didn't say anything about touching it. I submit to you, since we know that Adam knew to tithe, it was Cain and Abel's tithe, their first fruits. That fruit, had they let it alone until it was ripe, until it was ready, it was his tree. Then when the time had come, and he would have come to them and said, bring to me my fruit. Now, Jesus knew good and evil without experiencing it. And then he would have taught them who this serpent is. He would have taught them good and evil without having to go through the curse. I can see God's plan in that. He didn't say they couldn't touch it because they were responsible for the keeping of that garden. They were responsible for it. There wasn't anything wrong with them touching it, watering it, taking care of it. But she picked up something there. Now, she said it was beautiful. And she was wanting to touch it. There was no law against it. Now, that's very interesting, isn't it? All right, let's go back here where we were. And you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. The serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die, for God does know that in the day that you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. They were already like God. He's a con artist. He's painting a picture to her. So we can't tell what that picture was, but I mean, he was making this look really, really, really good. I've been there, have you not? Amen. Oh, don't mess with that. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, a tree to be desired to make one wise. Oh, man. She took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also to her husband with her, and he did eat. So he wasn't out playing heavenly golf somewhere. And he's the boss of the garden. He had dominion. He could have stopped it. Even after she ate, he could have stopped it. He could have stopped it ahead of time. He had the authority to do it. I'm convinced that once she ate of that, he could not give her up to it. But anyway, whatever it was, then he took them. He ate it. I don't think they just took a bite out of it. I think they had lunch. I mean, they just really went after this thing because it must have been extremely delicious. So, the eyes of both them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. I want to talk to you a little bit here. We won't have time in this session to get into a whole lot of it, but there's the light line. When God said light be, he wasn't talking about sunshine. He was talking about light energy. The power of light. And on that line, God is above that line. At that time, Adam and his wife were above that line. They were so much like God. They could see by the speed of light. They could see angels. They could see. They could see that devil. They could see and perceive of what was there. Now, he fell below the light line. So now his vision has fallen. Now he's stuck in this material world. In order to have light, now he must receive it from God. He can't see an angel unless he has a divine move of the Spirit to see one. But above that light line, he's like God. He can see the angels. He could see the whole spiritual world because he was exactly like God. Yes. And God created them. Yes. Now, let's continue with this. And the eyes of both of them were open. They knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. They heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam, which means blood, and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called to Adam and said unto him, "Who are you, or why are you where you are?" And he said, "I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." That's the first, that's the first recorded word of fear in the human race. Fear came from the devil. He is the author of fear. He is fear personified. "Who told you you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree wherein I commanded?" And so forth. And the Lord God said to the serpent, now listen to this, "Because you have done this, you are cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon your belly shall you go, and dust shall you eat all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed, and it shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel, and that's Jesus. And the fight was on. And it's been on ever since. What did the angel say? Goodwill towards men. That did not say among men. Goodwill toward men. The war between heaven and earth is over. How can we say that? Because the sacrifice is in the earth. He's here. And you can't get him out, and devil, you can't kill him until the time comes. And he tried. He tried every way he could get it done. He tried to do it, but he couldn't. So, now then, let's go to the book of Isaiah. And let's turn to the 14th chapter, please. Verse 9. Hell from beneath is moved for thee to meet thee at their coming. It stirs up the dead for you, even all the chief ones of the earth. It is raised up from their thrones, all the kings of the nations. And they shall seek and say unto you, are you also become weak as we? Are you become like us? The pomp is brought down to the grave, and the noise of your vials, the worm is spread under you, the worms cover you. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How are you cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For you that said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. Psalm 75:6, if you want to make a note of that. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. You shall be brought down to hell at the gates of the pit. They shall see that you're narrowly looked upon and consider you, saying, is this the man that made the earth to tremble and did shake kingdoms, that made the world as a wilderness and destroyed the cities thereof? Now, we're going way back. Now, you come to Genesis 1:1 and Genesis 1:2, eons of time between there. The fossil record doesn't lie. The dinosaurs were here. Now, whether you see it there or not, be honest enough that the dinosaurs were here, the saber-toothed tiger, the mammoth, all that. But none of them were on the ark. There are those that believe they were, but if there were, there'd still be some of them here. So that doesn't work. And we'll discuss that as we go. Now, let's turn to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 28. I just have time enough to introduce this, and then we'll take it up again tomorrow. Chapter 28:11. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation against the king of Tyrus. Now the prince of Tyrus thought he was a god. He'd been deceived. But this is the king of Tyrus. And say unto him, thus saith the Lord God, Thou sealest up the psalm full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. You have been in Eden, the garden of God. Well, that prince had never been in Eden. The garden of God, every precious stone was your covering, the sardis, the topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the sapphire, emerald, carbuncle, gold. Workmanship of your tabrets and your pipes was prepared in thee in the day that you were created. You are anointed the day you were created. There we have it again. The day that you were perfect in the day that you were created. You are the anointed cherub that covers. I have set you so. You were upon the holy mountain of God and walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Perfect was that day that you were created until iniquity was found in you. He had no tempter, so there is no salvation for him. Jesus said he is a liar and the father of it. He invented it. Amen. Amen. So, we have the name of Jesus. Amen. Glory to God. Aren't you, doesn't this thrill you? It does me. I go over and get over into this, and you know, and I like what Professor Greg Stevens said, you get out in the weeds. You just dig around in the weeds. You're looking around in there. And you find all kinds of worms and ugly stuff. Glory to God. My great-granddaughter, Alex, she's, John said to her, my granddaughter, excuse me. He said, told her to do something. She said, why? He said, because I'm boss. She said, I want to be boss. And so she killed her first white-tailed deer. And so her dad was dressing it all out. She just gouged his eyeball out and stuck it up here in her eye, just held the eyeball of that deer. Well, I have to admit, I have never tried that. She has no fear. She has no fear. We taught our children to be fearless. Be cautious, fearless, and stand on the word of the living God. And we're out of time. Well, let's give the Lord a praise. We'll be back in just a moment.
The Word of Faith wherever you go with the Believer's Voice of Victory magazine. Since 1973, KCM has delivered the Believer's Voice of Victory magazine worldwide. We're reaching nearly 400,000 people in 202 countries and territories on 5 continents. All absolutely free. Every magazine contains faith-building articles from Kenneth and Gloria Copeland and other guest authors. Read encouraging stories from people like you in testimonies of real-life victory. Equip your kids with powerful tools for spiritual growth in Commander Kelly's Corner. With a variety of viewing formats available, sharing is easier than ever. Download a digital copy for your tablet or mobile device. Click on the interactive magazine option where you'll find bonus content, videos, and downloads. Sign up for your free monthly subscription or download your copy today on our KCM website.
Knowing your rights means you can access benefits that you are entitled to and reject things that you don't have to be subjected to. This is true with family rights of inheritance, rights of a citizen of a country, and benefits of your job. The same is true for the benefits that are yours as a child of God. Dare to Take Your Place is an audio teaching by Kenneth Copeland in which you will learn about what you are entitled to as a born-again believer and especially how to take your place in your right standing with God. In the family of God, healthy relationships, abundant financial provision, healing and health in your body, motivation and energy day to day, and peace in your heart and mind are yours to enjoy. Your benefits do nothing for you if you don't use them. You must begin walking, talking, and acting on what is rightfully yours. There is no limit to God's righteousness in you. Accept your role and expect your benefits. Dare to take your place as a child of God. The promises of God for your life will increase your faith and place you in right standing with Him. Request Dare to Take Your Place, a free audio series by Kenneth Copeland, available at kcm.org.uk/TV special or call 01225-787-310. This free offer is good for 30 days. Postage charges may apply. For more information, contact your regional office today.
Now, the next time the devil comes to you and starts telling you about what all he's going to do to you and how he's going to take you down and you're not going to make it, well, just bring up his future. His future is not all that bright. I mean, he's got the lake of fire coming to him, and we're looking towards the resurrection. Well, glory to God. Hey, we're the one with the future, and we're the one with the blood of Jesus and the authority of God. And we'll talk about it tomorrow. You agree with that?
Yes.
Well, give the Lord a praise and thanksgiving that He's here in this earth. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you for joining us on the Believer's Voice of Victory. Kenneth and Gloria Copeland want you to be victorious in life. Go to kcm.org.uk for free ministry resources and teaching tools to help you grow in faith and live in the blessing of the Lord. Stay connected with us through our website and all of our social channels to help us keep you informed and up to date on ministry outreaches, upcoming events, and specials that are available to you.
I have a voice. My voice is the voice of victory. And this is the victory that overcomes the world. Even my faith.
In 2023, join Kenneth Copeland at these free KCM events to build your faith and live in victory. March 23 through 25, come to the Sacramento Victory Campaign in North Highlands, California. April 13 through 15, join us at the Branson Victory Campaign in Branson, Missouri. June 22 through 24, make plans to be at the Chattanooga Victory Campaign in Chattanooga, Tennessee. July 31 through August 5, don't miss our annual meeting at the Southwest Believers Convention in Fort Worth, Texas. And October 26 through 28, come to the St. Louis Victory Campaign in Sunset Hills, Missouri. Go to kcm.org/events for more information.